From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home version. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I'm not sure what to say about my guest, except that she is the most game person I've ever had do this show in the history of doing this show. But that's neither here nor there. My guest is the creator of P-Valley. She is an award-winning playwright for her plays that include The Mountaintop. I'm talking to Katori Hall, whose new show P-Valley is on Starz. Katori, thank you so much for doing it. I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, it's all good. I'm happy to be here. Yay, we talking. We kicking.
That's right. We doing that thing. But one of the things I mentioned to you before when we tried to do this was your work as a writer is really about taking us backstage into Black life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a remarkable sort of mindset for you to put the audience into.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you, I'm stealing that phrase from you, backstage into Blackness. Yeah. Whether it is, you know, the backstage at a strip club or if it's with, you know, Dr. King in room 306, I really want to be able to show all audiences, whether they white, Black, whatever. I just always want to be able to show Black folks as they are without this kind of feeling of having to represent their race or feeling as though, you know, they're airing dirty laundry about being Black. It's, you know, when you come into the spaces of within the Katori Hall universe, you know, you just got Black folks being their unapologetic selves. And I often, you know, get a lot of, there's some controversy surrounding that just because oftentimes, I would say Black audience members, they're always like, why are you showing us, you know, in that light where we're not perfect? And I'm like, you know, in order for people to really understand us as human beings, we need to be seen in all of our darkness and in our light, even if you're Dr. King. So it's been this interesting journey that I've decided to take all audiences on when it comes to continuing to represent Black folks in a very complicated and nuanced way. That I walk in the world as a complicated, nuanced human being. I'm like, my characters should, you know, get that same privilege.
I think they do. And having seen a couple of your plays and seeing this thing that often happens, and we were talking about this too, is that there's even code switching in the community that happens in your work. Mm-hmm. And talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah, you know, I feel as though, particularly when it comes to socioeconomics, right, there's a lot of different lines that exist within our community, and you are a certain way with certain groups of people. Like I think about the women in P-Valley, where when they're backstage with their sister girls, you know, it's all that kiki, all that slang. They talking stripper talk. But then when they, you know, got to get out on the floor, they go into saleswoman mode because they're connecting with customers. And so there's just a different lingo depending on who you are interacting with. You know, I think about just even in my own life where depending on the type of Black folks that I'm talking to, I must say I feel very comfortable walking into all the rooms of Blackness, whether it don't matter what people's socioeconomic class is, you know, where they have decided to live versus, you know, if it's the North versus the South. But I always say I feel just as comfortable in a strip club as I did, you know, in the White House when I got a chance to, you know, go there. And Black folks can populate all of those spaces and have. It's an honor to be able to kind of be able to switch your tongue. It's almost like a being bicultural, I would say, walking in this world. But like you were mentioning, this thing of even within our own communities, there's different ways of communicating. Like I kiki with my gay brother in a different way than I kiki with my sister, just because, you know, different groups have or embrace different lingo.
See, I think it's fascinating too. So much, because first of all, there's often a character in these things, be it, I think, Clifford in P-Valley, mm-hmm. or Angela Bassett's character in The Mountaintop, who are kind of themselves, who don't bother to code switch, who yep. don't turn that thing off. And mm-hmm. I want you to talk about that person, too, because there's somebody who is true to themselves, because the other characters have a performative aspect. Because basically, in the case of the Mountaintop, as you reminded me mm-hmm. yesterday, Dr. King makes an auspicious entrance off stage, and we get to see the way Mercedes enters the world in P-Valley. But all those people putting masks on and taking them off, you have one character who is, in effect, a truth teller, who is always themselves. And talk about that person.
It's interesting. So, you know, I grew up as this Southern girl going into these spaces where people were demanding that I change who I was, going to these Ivy League institutions and speaking in this Southern African American way was like it was almost revolutionary for me to do it right. It was like, look at this little Zora Neale Hurston rolling up at Columbia University. Like she is refusing to switch up her tongue, even though I will say I can do it. But I feel as though there's something powerful as a human being, particularly as a Black woman, when you demand that other people lean into you, learn your lingo. And so I think because Katori Hall has decided that my particular idiolect is going to have this fusion of Southernness and Blackness on my tongue, I kind of use all of me and make characters who, like you said, they refuse to be anybody but they own damn self. And, you know, Uncle Clifford is a great example of that, where Uncle Clifford is this gender fluid, non-binary owner of this strip club and has to run it like a man and run it like a woman, run it like a man in that, you know, you gotta roll up on these mofos and be touching up on the girls and lay down the law. But then you have to kind of be more nurturing and almost like a mama to these girls. And so I always envision Uncle Clifford being masculine and feminine in equal measure. And so it's very rare to see, I would say, non-binary Black folks on TV, but a person that is just so free and in their own freedom and embracing their tongue and embracing their desires to be both feminine and masculine. It sends this huge message to everybody within this community, which is, you know, this fictional town called Chuckalissa, Mississippi. It sends this strong message to this conservative town that you can be who you want to be. And yes, there are all these isms and all of this, the oppression that is definitely weighing individuality down and an expression of self down. What's so beautiful about the character of Uncle Clifford is that she just refuses to kowtow to homophobia, to the racism, to the sexism, to all of the patriarchy within this town and, quite frankly, within the world. So it's odd that Uncle Clifford finds just as much freedom within the strip club as the other women do in the strip club, in that it becomes this place for just freedom of expression. And the women they find different kinds of freedoms, whether it's financial freedom, them too, they find, you know, freedom of expression. There's just all these kind of gilded cages that are within this club, and yet these women are kind of like birds that they oftentimes figure out how to unlock the gilded cage for themselves.
It's the treatment. My guest who loves to stir up trouble, obviously, is Katori Hall. She's a playwright and creator of the series P-Valley on Starz. Gosh, there is so much to talk to you about, because one of the things I've noted in seeing your plays, and if going to see Black plays in general, is that you almost build in the experience that people are going to talk back, don't you? I mean, you know that Black audiences are going to talk amongst themselves. And there is a tradition of this, as I'm sure you know as a playwright, absolutely, that goes back to Shakespeare, who built in the idea that people are going to talk to the shows. That, yep, wasn't meant to be this walk into one kind of cathedral, but in fact, another.
Yep.
And there is something about the spaces you create as both a playwright and as a TV writer, I think, mm-hmm. that provokes response rather than a passive viewing experience, which to me feels both Black and classical theater.
Absolutely. It's so funny. So for me, the best theater is church, right? You go into that space, particularly if you grow up within the Black church and you got your pastor up on his pulpit, her pulpit sometimes, but that's rare down south, right? But, you know, you got these pastors up on the pulpit and they, to me, they're just like these actors. They are using their voices and their body language to tell this story from, you know, the greatest play on earth, which is the Bible. And they're using these lessons and putting forth these sermons. And the audience, as we know, the congregation, we talk back. It's the amen and is that make it plain now? Is the yes, sir. Like, come on, pastor. And I actually, because I was particularly with Dr. King in the mountaintop, you know, there are several moments where you see that moment of taking over the pulpit and we literally make the theatrical space an actual church on numerous occasions throughout the play. And I remember, you know, seeing, you know, Samuel L. Jackson standing by himself in the middle of this stage and people literally clapping in the way that they clap at church because they felt like they were in the presence of Dr. King giving an actual speech, right? And that to me is just how powerful theater is, the fact that it's an art form that demands you witness a story. And I think stories work well in there when they're stories that you have to be in the room with. And you know, to be able to get in the room with Dr. King, knowing that, you know, he is resting in power, I think was such a special moment for audience members. But what's been so interesting as I have translated my theatrical work to TV is like I've always kept in mind that Black folks gonna talk. And so I remember when I was talking to Stars very early, when it came to, you know, how we were going to market the show, I was like, well, y'all know Black Twitter gonna be on fire, right? Like, y'all know we gotta make sure that we have social assets that are engaging with this group that has, you know, we are so different. We're absolutely not a monolith, but yet we have still figured out through slavery, through the Great Migration, ways in which to stay connected. And Twitter has been this space, which is kind of like a theatrical space where you can, as a writer, go to Black Twitter and like there, as soon as the episodes drop, you see people responding and talking back to the TV, but they're, you know, putting it on Twitter. And so we actually have this log of people's responses, specifically Black people's responses to the work of P-Valley. And to me, we are in a weird way doing a church-like experience in people's living rooms. And we are allowing them, because there's this technological platform, we're allowing them to comment, to speak, you know, at the actors. And the fact that the actors and I are live tweeting at the time that the episodes drop as well. So once again, we're continuing this communication, this call and response. Like, what do you guys think about Keyshawn and Diamond getting together? And then you get all these responses like, hell yeah, they better get together. He better be her baby daddy. Like all of this really beautiful, like they are passionate. The people who are, you know, at home watching the show, and they're all watching it at completely different times because, you know, they're downloading it on the app, or, you know, it's very few people actually who watch it live. But the show in itself, because of these kind of like, oh my gosh, moments that we have made sure to weave throughout the entire series, it does demand that people say something about what they've experienced and what they've seen.
I'm going to ask you to take a breath and just say, preach, girl. My guest is Katori Hall. She is the creator and author of the series P-Valley on Stars. It's the treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. We have nothing to talk about with my guest, Katori Hall, who's the creator of P-Valley on Starz. We clearly have nothing to speak about. There's nothing we could possibly say to each other, but we'll just try to vamp from here. Again, there's so much to talk about here. One of the things I'm struck by, too, is that your balance of melodrama and intimacy. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, just because melodrama in the theater is considered to be profanity. And in Black life and in Black dramaturgy, let's say, it's kind of the raison d'etre, if I can use a word you probably don't like to say, but sort of the foundation of the way we lead our lives. And your fearlessness about including that and melding that with intimacy is one of the things that excites me about your work and had me so excited about seeing P-Valley.
You better preach on that. It's interesting. When I first started getting critiqued, specifically by white critics, they would use the word melodrama. And I'm just like, what are they talking about? Like, there is nothing melodramatic about this, like, this moment. Like, yeah, she almost got raped by her brother. Like, this is not melodrama. This is actually something that has happened, you know? And I think it's that thing of just what you as a group of people have experienced. And that, unfortunately, I always say Black folks live very Greek lives in that the emotions that course through our everyday experiences are so vast. The fact that we can be laughing one minute and then next second being pulled over by a police officer and having a gun against your head. That is the Black experience in American society. There are big swings. The pendulum swings very, very far. And so I think because of that experience, our art form should reflect the bigness of our lives. And so that's why when it comes to what other people, you know, deem melodrama, I am just like, no, this stripper told me this story about, you know, the time that she escaped a rapist. This dancer, she told me about, you know, very, very like deep private things that other people could not have survived. And so I think it's very important to include the truth of these people in a way that is elevated. And I think this thing of melding what I just call drama, I don't think of it as melodrama. I just think of it as truth. Truth with intimacy makes the intimacy, I think, number one, it's rare to see Black folks in an intimate way when it comes to sexual intimacy. And also just when it comes to love, like there aren't that many images of us loving one another. And it's not even just like heteronormative love, just, you know, love between sisters, love between friends. I also think that's the type of intimacy that P-Valley is laying the groundwork on in terms of providing more images and complicated images, particularly of people who we don't think have the capability to be loving and intimate with each other in a way that is healthy. Like people always assume that, oh, strippers, oh, they hoes, they be running around doing this, that, and the other, and that's all they be thinking about is sex. And in all actuality, you know, they have a very strong definition of love just because they are constantly in a space where they are engaging and negotiating these emotional transactions with people that they don't know. So they, like I said, they really have a lot to say when it comes to what real intimacy is versus the performative intimacy.
I think as a matter of scale, as a personal color, obviously you feel like you're constantly explaining yourself in some ways. And so to not do that is one of the things, again, I find just so thrilling about your work. Before we go any further with this, though, I should say that P-Valley, which is on Starz, is a drama set in a strip club in the South. And I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to give anything else away about it. But I feel like as much as your work is anything, P-Valley is very specifically in metaphoric terms about the demands of being Black, about how every time you enter a space, there's an expectation of you. As people of color, we're hypersexualized. We're judged as people who lead with our emotions rather than our thoughts. And I just feel like all these things we're talking about boiled into this stew, this sort of bouillabaisse that is P-Valley in ways that I feel like you kind of danced around a little bit with Who to Love and mm-hmm. with Hurt Village and with The Mountaintop. Those are the only pieces of yours I've seen. So I can't say I'm that
that's
expert
a lot.
In your work. But what I'm saying is, and I want you to talk about this a little bit, or as much as you want, rather, I feel like P-Valley is this kind of apotheosis of the way that people of color judge by themselves, mm-hmm. By the world at large, and that kind of constant reckoning with oneself and with outsiders that being Black demands of us in America.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, being a dancer is... It's like you're a walking metaphor, right? You have this mask that you have to put on. This mask is that face you, whether it's a smiley face or a sexy face. It's the way that you can, you know, survive and walk forward and get your money. And then, you know, you have your stripper name, which is once again this kind of like faux presentation to the world. And then boom, once you go backstage, you got to take all that off. Right. And you just got to look in the mirror and be OK with yourself, be OK with your choices. Unfortunately, be OK with the assumptions that other people have placed upon you. Quite frankly, that line between appearance versus reality is what it feels like to be a Black person in this world. And so, you know, this show is almost laying down this argument that the strip club is just a metaphor for being in America. Within this space, there's all these intersections of isms. There's the racism, there's the classism, there's the sexism, all of it. And what can you do at that intersection? How do you find freedom for yourself in an extremely exploitative space? To me, it's just the story of walking in this country and constantly having to engage and negotiate between that line of who you really are and how other people see you, unfortunately, the stereotype and the human being. So this show, even though it is set in a strip club, it's been so amazing to have this opportunity to really dive into issues like colorism, to look at the inheritance of slavery and the emotional impact of that, the soul consequences of that, and the economical consequence of that. The fact that we are still in this country and we do not have an iota of the wealth that, you know, white folks have. So this series, I think, really surprises people by taking on all of the mess, all of the inheritance, whether it's the inheritance of poverty and oppression, and creating a space where we can talk about it in a way that is very, I would call, edutaining. And that's just a kind of hallmark of my work. I try to, like, let's be real. Let's talk about, living in the projects. Let's talk about racial injustice, but let's do it in an entertaining way. I always joke and say, it's like I'm putting vitamins in the Kool-Aid. That's a phrase that we kind of bandy about when an actor is like, you know, do we, like, what does this moment really, really mean? It's like, yeah, we gotta, you know, make medicine out of poison sometimes. And that's what we've always had to do as Black folks walking and working in this gilded cage that America can be.
There is this thing that happens in P-Valley, and I didn't see the play, so I can't really talk about the differences there, but that mm-hmm. links it to your other work and that idea of constantly having to negotiate in a world where, for people of color, every interaction is seen as transactional because you're being judged as a commodification mm-hmm. of a person rather than as the person. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like that's, as you were doing the research for what became the play and eventually the show, that it became this really sort of sumptuous and overflowing metaphor for the journey of being a person of color, that it must have just triggered something in you that I'm wondering if the other plays did not.
I think it was really about, you're always writing the same thing over and over again, I feel like, as a writer. I think about August Wilson, like he was always writing the same scene of a man and a woman, like having romantic problems and trouble. I'm like, this has literally been in every play that he ever wrote. And so as a writer, and I love August Wilson. This is no shade at all. But I think as a writer who grew up in the South and was trying to write myself into existence because I did not see myself in ways that felt very reflective of my Black female Southern experience, it feels as though with P Valley, because I have the real estate to dig into all of the stuff that has made me this human being that embraces her Blackness, that it may be why it feels like it's kind of the apex of all of my work when it comes to dissecting and dismantling these bigger themes when it comes to being a Black person in the world. But I do think it is definitely a reflection of the intersectionality of my own identity in that, you know, I used to not even think about me being a woman. Like, my Blackness was always first. And it's because I just didn't necessarily have the luxury. Like, I could get killed if I was Black. Like, being a woman is like, you know. But Blackness just ended up having so much heaviness attached to it. And unfortunately, you know, people, they see a Black person and or they see a Black man, they think criminal and I should be afraid of him. And if they see a Black woman, they think, oh, my God, a woman I should, you know, fetishize and have sex with. Like, it's that kind of, you know, criminality and hypersexualization. But knowing that it has been this honor to be able to show just our humanity and not have to make anyone feel comfortable, whether it's white folks or Black folks. I always say that I kind of write not thinking about what white folks gonna think about me or my characters or what the respectable Black folks are going to think about my characters. So why P Valley feels so full, I think has a lot to do with my everything just catching up with itself in terms of what I've been dealing with and writing about in every previous play. And the fact that I, you know, I have one season and now I'm going to have another season to kind of go at it again and dig down even deeper. I think that's the reason why it's just feeling dense and like you said, kind of like the apex of all of my work.
Well, again, I'm sorry that we had nothing to talk about, but if you're welcome to come back here whenever you like, Adoree, it's a thrill having you on the show.
Oh, well, I loved having an opportunity to kiki with you, Elvis, because it's been, we were struggling. But
I don't know if you know, but that's what it's like to be Black in this country. You have to keep trying until you get it right.
What you said, what you just said.
My guest is Adoree Hall. Her newest work as an author is is P Valley on Starz. A recording engineer at KCRW is Kat Yor, who also mixes the show. It's edited by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. That's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.